And what struck me about him is how he loved to talk about the airplanes and about the people he worked with, and not so much about himself or his accomplishments. And we all cherish what you did as a crew. Any memories you'd like to share with us about Neil and how you were as a crew?
Well, I think there were about 30 of us who might have been considered for that job. And Deke Slayton, who was the primary chooser, I'm sure he was not the only one. We had a whole center full of people, but I thought there could not have been a better choice. And Neil was a very intelligent man. He had interests that were far wider than NASA's space program. He was a historian, a native historian, primarily a historian of science. And I can give you all kinds of examples, but I'll give you one and then I'll give you a generality. After the flight of Apollo 11, we were thrilled to have around the world look at 29 different cities. Neil was our spokesperson. Whenever we arrived, Neil made a short welcoming speech. He'd done his homework. He had the audience absolutely eating out of his hand. He had all sorts of local references. And understand, none of this was in any of the briefing papers that we had been given. This is Neil, Neil, and more Neil. At the end of the speech, he had those people eating out of his hand. They wanted to come on board an Eagle with him and fly with him. He was just amazing in that regard. And I just think overall, he was just a magnificent choice to be first man.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I think the next video clip we have pretty much shows that sentiment. This is a video of when you all returned in the command module coming back from the moon, and let's go ahead and show that. No, we want the one that has Neil in the command module on the return.
Very, very fine grained as you get close to it. It's almost like.
We'll get there. Hold on that one for just a moment. We should have a video of Neil in the command module during the return. There you go, right there. Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you. Kinda.
We'd like to give a special thanks to all those Americans who built those spacecraft, who did the construction, the design, the test, and put their heart and all their abilities into those craft. To those people, tonight we give a special thank you. And to all the other people that are listening and watching tonight, God bless you. Good night from Apollo 11.
Probably feels like yesterday, Mike. Does that feel like yesterday?
Feels like 50 years, 2 weeks and 1 day since yesterday.
Fabulous, thank you. So you told a story last week we were together that I loved. It was about your time in quarantine and something about the white mice. You care to share that again?
Mice?
Yeah.
Oh, oh them. I was fascinated. We were locked up in quarantine back in Houston for I think it was 14 days, and the reason was some of our scientists had thought that perhaps we'd been exposed, Neil and Buzz exposed on the lunar surface to some really deadly pathogens that were going to kill all of mankind. I mean, the chances of that were extremely small, almost infinitesimally small. The consequences, if true, were almost impossibly large. And as Neil pointed out, if you multiply a huge number by a tiny number, what do you come up with? I don't know, something, some entity that had to be taken care of. So we were locked up in quarantine with, I think, 30 or 40, I don't know, white mice. And as I say, I think I said before, but the interrogations, if that's the right word, that I got at press conferences centered on one thing and one thing only. By yourself, weren't you the loneliest man in all the lonely history of the lonely Earth in your lonely orbit behind the lonely moon all by your lonely self? Weren't you lonely? Oh, Jesus. I mean, I was king of Colombia. It was all mine. I mean, like all kings, you have to be a little suspicious, like that third switch down there keeps popping out, whatever the hell it is either, I've forgotten, but where was I? Oh, I was being asked about the mice. In quarantine with us were a large quantity, maybe, I don't know, 30, 40 white mice, and their health depended on the final outcome of our flight. Neil, Buzz, and I had flown to the moon, come back. That was either a wonderful success or the worst horrible tragedy in all of history, depending on the health of the white mice. And, well, it's true, that's true, that's really true. And as time went by, well, at the time, I know what it was, at the time I was reading a book by John Steinbeck called Of Mice and Men. And, okay, so we had flown to the moon and back. But was that good or bad? Depended on the white mice. So as I got thinking of that, of mice and men, I decided, you know, the mice are really more important than the men on a deal like that. So that was my fantastic conclusion.
That's fantastic. Thank you. There's another individual that we owe a lot of credit to from the leadership of the program. That was Chris Kraft. And we unfortunately lost Chris on Monday. And
yes.
We all knew him quite well. I'd like to honor him. There's a picture of Chris there. Thank you. There it is. There's Chris. Chris worked to advise us right up to the end. That's a photo of him a few months ago signing some of our work on the next generation lander. Northrop Grumman is working on some of that today, and Chris has been advising us, and so we miss him. Would you like to share some of your memories of working with Chris, Joe, or Mike?